but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It's my goal as pastor of this church that you possess eternal life, our little ones grow up believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you do not spend the lake of fire, eternity in the lake of fire. It's also my goal that you be found worthy, faithful, ready with mercy at the judgment seat of Christ, so you might enter the coming kingdom of 1,000 years, get the reward the Lord has for you. But there's more. I would that we would be happy in this life. Love life, as Peter says. See good days. And have the abundance of health and life that God has for us. And the devil comes to steal. He comes to give you a false gospel. He comes to cause and tempt Christians to be disobedient so they will not be found faithful at the judgment seat. And he comes to destroy your health, to destroy your joy, and give you physical problems. He's a thief. He hates you. And we're here to rebuke him today and pray God will open up some eyes and help you. Dear God, I do need you to open up people's eyes, Father, for the blind to see, the lame to walk, and those that are bound by drugs and many things that the devil's given them in this day and age, Lord, it's going to take your grace. And I do pray, Father, that your Spirit would open eyes today and help us to understand as we have this series here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, title of my message today is Hard-Boiled Women and Milquetoast Men. Thank you, Caleb and Junior. I'm not sure which one recognized that there were some hard-boiled women, but I decided to take the name for the sermon. Hard-Boiled Women and Milquetoast Men. I'm going to show you where they came from. I'm going to show you where they came from. I'm going to show you what the problem is today. This will just be a follow up to last week, because I just think you might just need a little extra. Not only that, I might put this all in a book soon, and so I do pray. It'll be a blessing to somebody. May God use it to His glory. A lot of people will reject this, and that's understood. To try to get a drunk person to quit drinking, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. He said, I'm not drunk. Give me another drink. It's hard. Person on painkillers, to try to get them to stop their painkillers. Once they're on the drugs, it's hard to get them. Once you already have these things in your body and you're manifesting all the symptoms of a hard-boiled, rebellious woman, to get you to stop it is going to be a difficult process. But God can do it. God can do it. And I do pray that God will open up some eyes today. I want you to notice what's going to happen. I subtitled the message, Hard-Boiled Women and Milquetoast Men, with the goal of pagans. And this is a theme that it's really the foundation of everything the devil's trying to do. I mean, he can't do anything but take God's highest creation on earth and pervert it. That's all he can do. He can just cross it, pervert it, just scramble it up. That's all he can do. That's his goal. And, of course, it definitely, God says, an abomination for you to wear that which pertains to a man, or men to wear that which pertains to a woman. Luke 17 says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, that's dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when Jesus comes. As Jude tells us, they'll go after strange flesh. Now, we looked at things that are disrupting, often by design, what God made men and women to be. We looked at last week. I gave it my best. If you just don't hear that, if you're not going to listen, what can I do but be grieved and sad and sit back and wait for the consequences and try to help you through them? I've been warning you for years about what they've been doing, what they've been trying to do, what they've accomplished with hormones in your food, hormones in your meat and dairy, the BPA, the plastic, with 100 other things besides BPA, with scientists writing me, answering my emails, telling me, yes, it gets in there whether you drink it cold or not. Xenoestrogens, phthalates, heavy metals, all these things that are cross-dressing you just like they are the fish. You're no different than the fish in many ways. It's going to have some of the same effects in your bodies and in your children that it's having in all of nature today. God says He's going to come soon and destroy them that destroy the earth. And what I'm asking Christians to do is let's be a land of Goshen, amen? Let's get out and come out from among them, be separate, have God's wisdom, and not have to experience the diseases of the Egyptians and the things that they're trying to do to people. They've unleashed a monster. In the past 50 years, these Nazis have brought to mankind 90,000 man-made chemicals, compounds. Now you get to spend the rest of the time before Jesus comes looking and reaping and trying to find out, what have they done to us? What have they done to us? Now, many knew what they were doing. Last sermon was called Franken-Feminazis. And there was a reason it was called Franken-Feminazis, because they are like Frankensteins. They are perverting and making women the way they are today. I gave a disclaimer at the end of the sermon, and I will do so again at the end of this sermon, showing how we can resist this. And just because you feel like doing something doesn't mean you have to, and we will get more into that. But listen to Bertrand Russell, one of these inside elite type of Masonic fellows, in the Scientific Outlook of 1931. He says, perhaps by means of injections, there's your vaccines, your drugs, and your chemicals, the population could be induced to bear whatever its scientific masters may decide to be for its good. What in 10 years later? Of course, the Nazis were already doing it. What in 10 years later? The chemical age exploded. Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society in 1952, says, diet! There it is, diet! Injections and injunctions will combine. In other words, you have to take our vaccines. You have to take these things. If you're not giving your children the good hormones that we want you to give them, you are resisting our indoctrination. Our manipulation. You have to do it. Injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. What they want you to do, man, is be passive. What they want you to do is go along with everything, relax, and have that feminine nature. Women, they want to use you temporarily. They're going to creep into your houses and fill you full of all kinds of things. It's going to make you a raging, hard-boiled feminazi. And then after they use you, they'll spit you out, because they're going to use you to get rid of the men and take over this world for Antichrist. And you'll be cursed in the process. Remember Aldous Huxley's Brave New World in 1932. The lower classes are exposed to certain chemicals and hormones before they are born to reduce their intelligence and make them infertile. 70% of all the women were exposed to male hormones to sterilize them and give them masculine behavior. And Aldous Huxley began a few years later to say, I had no idea it would come this quick. I had no idea what I wrote would come to pass this quick. Well, it's all by design. Welcome to the brave new world. But I'm going to show you here that it's not new. This thing was designed from the earliest days of the pagans. Now, I'm going to quote Peter Jones of The Stolen Identity, The Conspiracy to Reinvent Jesus, to turn him into some bisexual, effeminate, androgyny type of person. And what I've been preaching for many years, he kind of sums up right here. So I thought I would take his summary. The Gnostics teach that when Eve separated from Adam, the original androgynous unity was broken. The purpose of Christ's coming, according to these Gnostics, was to reunite Adam and Eve. The Gnostic Jesus commends making the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male, nor the female female. These are these Gnostic wicked occult writings that you'll see in the bookstore, the lost books of the Bible. Well, they all teach androgyny. Death will be defeated when Adam attains his former androgynous self. In the Gospel of Thomas, Salome declares to Jesus that she is his disciple. Jesus replies that since he is from the undivided, his disciples will be undivided, filled with light. But if divided, they will be filled with darkness. That means if you're not androgynous, if you're not androgynous, if you're not male and female, then you are in the darkness. In the next saying, Jesus identifies this teaching as my mysteries. And here it is. These are the occult mysteries. Male must become female. Female must become male. And these are the mysteries. This is it. This is Baphomet. Inevitably, the final saying, which brings these secret sayings to a conclusion, has Mary, quote, become a male, says Jesus. The kingdom of God will come when you become a male. The kingdom of God will come to this earth, says the Gnostics, when women renounce the dress of their sex and wear men's clothes. Such androgynous spirituality has a close association with various pagan practices. Hippolytus witnessed it and documented the fact. They sought spiritually what pagan priests realized physically. What were the pagan priests in the temple doing? Anything physically they could do to turn themselves into women, they did. They did. If they knew of drugs, they took it. All the shamans, when you look at the witch doctors of the Indians, they were all these androgynous, transsexual type of perverts. That's what they were. That's what they were. And they said because they are that, they are entering into the mysteries and they have wisdom. But whatever drugs, whatever surgery, whatever they could do, they were trying to pervert themselves. In this regard, he goes on to say, Gnostic spirituality also parallels, now don't miss this, Hindu spirituality. In tantric or kundalini yoga, androgyny is also the goal. The yogin is thus transformed into a kind of androgyny. You find somebody that teaches yoga somewhere and watch how effeminate they are. See, whether they're bisexual or not, you watch what it does to them, see. Watch how they talk. Influential Jungian psychologist and Gnostic convert June Singer in 1977 boasted, "We have at hand all the ingredients we need to fuse the opposites within us, no longer as exclusively masculine or feminine." In other words, by 1977, the chemical age had been here. They had had 40-something years or more to develop these alchemist Nazi practices and to bring them and figure out how they're going to use injunction to put them in all of the food and plastic and everything that they could find in America, while at the same time they are brainwashing your children from an early age to go along with the propaganda. If they can't get you with propaganda, they will get you with the physical side of these things and hopefully bring them together. So whether no matter what type of psychologist you are, whether you believe it's all physical and genetic and hormonal, or whether you believe it's the environment, they're going to use both. They're going to use both to control your behavior. And certainly, they are both useful toward that end. Now, the Gnostic writings go on to teach that you are to be your own master, you are your own God, matter is the great evil created by the bad God, the Gnostic Christ is said to be the original serpent in Genesis. So when this Jesus is talking in the Gospel of Thomas, they say he is really the serpent in the book of Genesis. He comes to deliver you, to make you God. And for you to realize godhood, you must learn androgyny. You must embrace the homosexual spirit. You must cross-dress. That is the ultimate woman. If you want to be free, you have to dress like a man, act like a man, and partake. But don't worry, we'll help you do that, says the Gnostic Jesus, says the serpent in the book of Genesis. We're going to help you. We're going to help facilitate this by our drugs. And once you get these things in your body, you will begin to be masculine and rebellious, and you'll just go along with the whole thing that they want you to go along with. It's really nothing but perversion and death. Now, this goes way back. The goddesses of the Roman Empire were served by androgynous priests. Okay? The goddesses of the Roman Empire. The Egyptian gods were often androgynous. The Gnostic god, of course, was androgynous. Set in ancient Egypt, one of their gods was worshipped with obscene homosexual rituals. Many of the gods of the Canaanite nations and the Old Testament nations were androgynous, which God called abominations. So when God says, "Walk not in the abominations of those people," he's talking about wicked things, men and women switching clothes, androgynous priests, and the whole mess that leads to sodomy, for which he destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know God speaks of the diseases of the Egyptians and says, "If you will obey me, I will not put their diseases upon you." Now, here's the question I want to ask you today. I want to talk about what was the diet of these ancient androgynous priests? Isn't that a good question? What did those priests eat? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? Because if I can find out whatever one of them androgynous, wicked, perverted priests, whatever they were eating, I don't want to eat. And if they said, don't eat something, I think I'm going to eat it. You know why? Because I know what their goal is. Their goal is to make you less of a woman and a man less of a man. So they had figured out with their shamanic practices what they can eat and not eat to make them more perverted. So, whatever it is, it made them more effeminate. Well, Wilkinson's manners and customs of the ancient Egyptians, hold on to your chair now, Egyptian priests were forbidden to eat onions. Well, I've already showed you in Song of Solomon that onions give men testosterone. Or at least they help the man in that regard. They make him more manly. Anything of the onion family, onion, leeks, garlic. So when you begin to explore onions, you find out they make a man, they help him in regard to his masculinity. Amazing. Well, they had found out back then that if you want to be an androgynous priest, stay away from onions, whatever you do. Aha. Plutarch tells us, Egyptian, and other historians back then, thousands of years ago, says Egyptian priests kept themselves clear of onions and garlic. Well, I guess they did. Onions and other members of its family are powerful testosterone builders in men. In men. God's worked it all out. Herodotus tells us the slaves, listen now, who built the pyramids were fed onion, garlic, and radishes. Radishes of the Bible, mustard family. Remember the mustard seed, the mustard family, radishes? Well, that tells me, wow, if those slaves who built the pyramids ate onions, garlic, and radishes, I'm going to eat whatever of those families. You understand that? I'm going to eat some onions, garlic, and radishes, and the whole thing of the mustard family. Then guess what you find out? You find out that that mustard family, cruciferous vegetables, the mustards and all of those things, for men, they not only purify his liver and get all that mess out of his body and detoxing, but they increase his testosterone. Now think about this for a second. Turn back to Exodus 1 here. Notice what it says. The children of Israel were what? Fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed what? How did a bunch of slaves wax exceeding mighty? I understand they have the blessing of God on them. But God also uses means. You understand that? He uses instruments. He uses means. They waxed exceeding mighty. Bunch of slaves? And the land was filled with them. And Pharaoh said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Mightier? How did a bunch of slaves? What did he mean? He means they're physically stronger. They're physically stronger. They're healthier. Now, of course, God had cursed the Egyptians as they're eating monkey brains and every other slop and thing that they could find to eat. The Israelites were eating what? What were the Israelites eating? Let's find out. Numbers 11. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. The very thing the effeminate Egyptian androgynous priests would not eat, they were eating. So what happened? What happened? Their men were getting strong. Their women were getting fruitful and mighty in a good way, in a strong, healthy way. And this is what we see was occurring. Now, the androgynous paganism that came from the Tower of Babel had spread to Egypt. And it spread to all nations. And we see that same effeminate androgyny in the Hindus, in the Buddhists of the East, the Gnostics, the Roman Catholic monks and priests, and finally in the 1960s. When they decided to invade the West with the Beatles and the hippies and the gurus came over and taught America how to simply be androgynous. Boys, grow your hair long, be weak. Women, be like men. And they're going to give you the drugs as well as the diet to accomplish this androgyny. Well, as we look closer at this pagan priesthood, their goal is androgyny. They're going to stay away from onions and garlics and things like that. What else did they teach about diet? Mahayana Buddhism, that's found in China and Japan and Korea and Vietnam and Tibet, their dietary guidelines are found in Buddhist texts. Here's one of the Buddhist texts. A disciple of the Buddha must not deliberately eat what? Meat! Why don't they want men to eat meat? Why don't they want these priests to eat meat? It goes back to the original androgyny, because meat helps a man be strong. It helps his testosterone. I mean, you can read online right now, transsexuals and all of these things, they tell you how to basically become effeminate. And you got to stay away from meat. A disciple of the Buddha should not only not eat meat, according to this ancient text, but a disciple of the Buddha should not eat garlic, chives, leeks, and onions. There we go. What's the goal, folks? Why are they trying to get a man to stay away, at least a monk or a priest? Why are they trying to get a monk or a priest to stay away from meat and to stay away from everything in the onion family? Because they want to make you effeminate. They want to make the man androgynous. Every one of these things is in the onion family. Every one of them increases a man's testosterone, gives you antiviral properties. I mean, it's one of the most amazing foods. Garlic, chives, leeks, and onions. It's one of the most amazing things you could ever eat. Buddha explains why the five pungent spices, including garlic and onions, are not good for us. Especially not good for celibate monks. Oh, they know what's going on. Why is it not good for a celibate monk? Because the goal in celibacy is to refrain from a woman, and the goal is to be weak and not have any desire whatsoever, but they end up having perverted desires. They end up being homosexual, at least have those tendencies. You know, the Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. But you don't escape desire by becoming unhealthy. That doesn't make any sense. God wants you to be healthy as a woman, healthy as a man. And then if you can't control yourself, get married. It's good to get married, but it is not good to say, I'm going to take care of my desires by becoming unhealthy. Whatever will make a woman more like a man and a man more like a woman, that's what we're going to do so we won't have desire. That doesn't make any sense. That's perverted. But that's what Satan came to do to you. That's what Satan came to do to you. What are the Buddhist five pungent spices? Whatever they are, you can type in on the internet and find that they are exploding with testosterone and masculine power. The five forbidden spices, amen, are leeks, scallions, garlic, onion, and ginger. Ginger. Type it in. One of the most powerful testosterone builders there is. And we're not talking about just ideas or suppositions or guesses. We're talking studies. Okay, so they want you to stay, Junior, away from leeks, scallions, garlic, onions, and ginger and meat. They want you to eat like a canary. The monks do not use garlic, ginger, onions, or any type of spice when preparing their meals. Why? Because from the demon's flesh emerge blooms of onions, garlic, and all other allicaceous plants. Hence, eating onion and garlic is similar to eating flesh. That's what they believe. That's what they told those people. They said, no, you can't eat meat. That's a living creature. And you can't eat onions and garlic and ginger and things like that because that's all from the demon's flesh. Oh, I know what you're trying to do. The devil comes to pervert. He's making men afraid of eating something that's going to make them strong. See? Almost all of Mahayana monastics in China, Japan, and Vietnam avoid eating strong-smelling plants. And here are their texts that they get it from. This precept is often interpreted to include other members in the onion family, as well as coriander. Oh, here we go again. You know what I'm going to find when I type in coriander? I'm going to find that coriander, by the way, I believe ginger is in the Bible, and you'll find that in Song of Solomon, under another name, saffron. And you will also see that coriander is in the Bible. But somebody's trying to get you to stay away from onions and coriander. Why are they trying to get you to stay away from coriander? Because the devil knows. The devil knows. Taoists and followers of Hinduism and Jainism also do not consume pungent-tasting foods. Well, coriander is really cilantro. Coriander is the seed. Cilantro is the green part. What does it do? Not only does it have its own properties, but one of the main things it does is it goes through your body and cleans out all the devil's things that he's using to feminize a man. Heavy metals. One of the greatest detox cleansers that you could ever use is cilantro, coriander. It says in Numbers 11, and the manna was as coriander seed. Well, they could have said the manna is as anything. Why did they say as coriander seed? If you're writing a Bible that's going to go down through 6,000 years of history, if you have a Bible, why would you put as coriander seed? Because the Bible's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, sister. And the Bible, God, the Holy Spirit, put coriander in here because He wants you to know what coriander is. He wants you to have coriander and understand it's good for you. It cleanses God's people. So when everybody in the world is falling away and being physically diseased and sick, you will understand these biblical principles long before the scientists understand them. You don't have to understand all the studies. Just say, God said to eat this. I'm going to eat it. But one of the reasons you eat coriander is right here. NCBI, here's the government study. Lead poisoning is a worldwide health problem. Not only that, but mercury poisoning and every other type of poisoning. The aim of this study was to assess the efficacy of coriander in reducing lead-induced changes in mice. Animal exposed to lead had suppressed testosterone levels. Of course they do. Heavy metals destroy a man's testosterone. But in a woman, they raise her testosterone. Amazing. In other words, they pervert the woman and they pervert the man. But what does coriander do? Coriander comes in and cleans it out. And therefore, the man can be more of a man and the woman more of a woman, at least in the physical feelings and such. The influences of lead were prevented by concurrent daily administration of coriander, cilantro. There it is. So here you have the pagan priests with their ancient precepts saying, stay away from onions, garlic, stay away from coriander, stay away from ginger, and I'm telling you, I'm going to eat a whole lot of it, brother. I have been, and I'm going to eat more of it. Whatever they tell me to stay away from, I'm eating. Because I don't want to be some pagan priest, do you? No, I know what they look like. I know how they act. I know how they talk. That's not God's ideal of what a man is. Confucius, the Taoist leader, I believe, said to eat white rice, which has most of the vitamins missing. They say stay away from spices. Well, you know what we're going to find? You're going to find headlines like this one. Testosterone levels higher in men who eat spicy foods. Now, I don't think you ought to go out and eat a bunch of nightshades and end up blowing your appendix out and getting arthritis and things. But you know what? There's other ways to eat spicy. I mean, there's turmeric, there's ginger, there's all of these, there's coriander, there's all of these spices that are in biblical families, especially the ones the pagan priests said, stay away from, stay away from. Frederick Simmons in Food in China, a cultural and historical inquiry, put it this way. Brahmins, uppercase Hindus, were enjoined to reject various allium species such as onion, garlic, and leeks. In India, anti-allium sentiment occurred among the Jains and the Buddhists. They are banned to Chinese Buddhists even today. And there is at least one Buddhist vegetarian dish, especially fitting for monks, because it excludes garlic, scallions, and ginger. These banned alliums are also found among Taoists. Well, they were found in ancient Egypt, of course. It's all the same pagan priesthood. Writing of Chinese Buddhist monks in the first half of this century, Welts provides an even longer list of items banned or usually avoided, including flesh. Okay, so no beef, no turkey, no deer, no venison. Fish. You can't even eat fish. What did it say the Israelites ate? They ate fish, garlic, and onions, and leeks, and melons, and all these things that are so good for a man and good for a woman. They don't eat flesh, they don't eat fish, they don't eat eggs, they don't eat milk products. Praise God for local farms and people with cows that we can get some raw milk. Praise God for that. Onions and their relatives. Wow. Well, I'll tell you right here. If a pagan, effeminate priest that worship an androgynous god didn't eat onions, didn't eat ginger, didn't eat coriander, didn't eat fish, didn't drink raw milk, didn't eat eggs, I praise God, I eat eggs, amen? I praise God, I eat a lot of eggs, I eat a lot of fish, I eat a lot of meat, I eat a lot of ginger, I eat a lot of onions, I eat a lot of garlic. And I'm glad now. I'm so glad. Now, here's a big question. I see what they didn't eat. What did they eat a lot of? Because whatever they ate a lot of, we need to be suspect about, brother. You understand that? Because they had an agenda. That shaman witch doctor wanted to be a pervert. These pagan priests performed surgery upon themselves and all kinds of that. They wanted to pervert themselves. So whatever diet they had was for the purpose of perverting what God wanted a man to be. Now before we look at what they did eat and drink, look at 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This pagan spirit that's from the Tower of Babel, from Genesis 3, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Okay, what do they tell their priest? Be what? Celibate, celibate, celibate. And commanding to abstain from meats. In other words, abstain from the things that God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. I mean, there's some things that are flesh that you could eat, you'll die instantly. There's some frogs. This isn't saying eat whatever God has put on earth. Some things are not meant for food. You understand that? But whatever God ordained for food in the Bible, whether of flesh or vegetables, read about it, study it, and eat it, and enjoy it. But the pagan agenda will be to make you celibate in a pagan priesthood. And along with that doctrine of don't marry, they're going to render you incapable of being married. They are going to feminize the man by their diet. And it's a doctrine of devils. It's a doctrine of devils. Let me show you the relationship now between Buddhism and the pagan priesthood and the use of soy and tea. And I'm sorry that many years ago, I bought into the soy deception. Praise God, we shook it loose and woke up and understood what they were doing to us. I bought into the tea deception. And There's a lot of spirits in the air, people. There's a lot of spirits in the air. The New Ladies magazine in 1786 says it has been urged that tea tends to effeminate the male. Numerous writings that I could quote you were people saying you're going to destroy America like you did England. You're going to bring this junk over here, and every time we see it, a man puts on a wig and starts looking like a girl and getting in front of the mirror and primping and doing all kinds of crazy stuff and fixing his hair. In other words, he starts getting effeminate. And so they began to notice, and doctors began to urge that don't bring this stuff to America. It's going to get rid of a man's manliness. What do the pagan priests like to do? They like to eat soy and they like to drink tea. They like to eat soy and they like to drink tea. And they stay away from onions and ginger and meat. I hope you're getting the picture. What are they bringing to America today? What has exploded that's in all the baby formula? It's everywhere you look. Soy, soy, soy. In fact, you say, well, I don't eat soy. Oh, yeah, you do. Just start reading the ingredients, people. Open the back of that thing. Soy protein, soy protein, soy protein, soy protein. Lecithin, soy lecithin, soy lecithin, soy lecithin. It's in your chewing gum. It's in everything just about you stick in your body that you buy in the store. There's a reason they stick it in there. An ultimate reason. Livestrong says the direct lowering of testosterone levels from tea may be a side effect of green tea. The Department of Physiology and Pharmacology in Brazil's Federal University specifically investigated the effect of green tea on testosterone production. They found high levels of green tea inhibited the amount of testosterone hormone in rodents. But then again, black tea also lowered testosterone in male mice. Here's the medical study, 2013. Now, you'll find other medical studies that avoid telling you that, but they will tell you this. Black tea, green tea found to inhibit prostate cancer. But if you go down to the bottom and read the fine print, you find they inhibit prostate cancer the same way saw palmetto does, by getting rid of a man's testosterone. Here's a study from 2015. Here's the documentation. Flavonoids are major compounds of rooibos tea and what we call green and black tea. They're classified as endocrine disruptors, and some have been shown to inhibit testosterone production. TM3 Leydig cell cultures were treated with unfermented or fermented rooibos as well as green or black tea. Under non-stimulated conditions, all teas tend to decrease testosterone production. Under stimulation, a significant reduction in testosterone production was observed at all concentrations by both rooibos and regular tea. In conclusion, the results here demonstrate the anti-androgenic, that means anti-masculine property of rooibos and black tea. Oh, why in the world were these fellows sitting around drinking tea? Why were they sitting around staying away from garlic and onion? They knew from early ages what it does to a man. TMuse.com says it's clear that the Chinese themselves associated tea with the introduction and spread of the Buddha laws, Buddha Dharma. Virtually all early teas are named for mountains, which were also sites of large monasteries. Buddhist monks gradually developed the various types of white, green, and oolong tea. The monks used tea every day as an aid to meditation. Some of the Buddhist sites say they use it to stay awake. But there was more. It was used to feminize, just as soy was used. Many say that there is a very, very important reason why the monks designed a diet of things like soy and tea. Weston A. Price says numerous animal studies show that soy foods cause infertility in animals. Soy consumption lowers testosterone levels in men. Tofu was consumed by Buddhist monks to reduce desire. Dietary estrogens in the form of soy foods were found to have the potential to disrupt the endocrine system, with the effects in women similar to taking the breast cancer drug tamoxifen. Now, don't miss what they just said. They said that Dietary estrogens like soy cause women to have their estrogen blocked, but cause men to have their testosterone lowered. So what does soy do to a woman? It doesn't feminize her. It masculinizes her. What does soy do to a man? It feminizes him. In 1910, Chemical Abstract says the author selected 12 monks from Buddhist monasteries where the rules of celibacy and the avoidance of animal foods are strictly observed. Their diet consists chiefly of rice and barley with soybean products such as soy sauce and miso, vegetables of a number of sorts, rapeseed oil, canary food, and similar materials. Don't eat rapeseed. Rapeseed, like hemp seed, they're canary foods, and these things are this rapeseed's not even an edible product. It's where we get canola oil. It's one of the most rancid, unhealthy things you could stick in your body. As is usual in Japan, the rice and other dishes are commonly cooked with soy sauce, judging by the details supplied regarding menus. The subjects did not weigh as much as 97 to 114 pounds as the average American. They did not weigh as much as the average American. Now, I understand when you go back to 1940, Americans were far more thinner than we are today. But nevertheless, I don't want to be 97 pounds, Brother Orlando. You understand? So what was wrong with these monks? Why was even the oldest young adult 114 pounds? That's the most he weighed. They weighed from 97 to 114 pounds. I don't know how much you're supposed to weigh, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it was a good idea to take this soy. Now, there's some confusion. Mercola tells us, how much soy did Asians eat? In short, not that much. Remember, everybody was not a Buddhist monk. According to K.C. Chang, editor of Food and Chinese Culture, the total caloric intake due to soy in the Chinese diet in the 1930s was only 1.5%. That comes from historical documents. Writing in the Chinese Journal of Physiology in 1928, So noted that soybean milk is a native food used in certain parts of the country as a morning beverage, but it is little used as part of the diet for children. So don't believe everything they tell you about this stuff. Its nutritive properties as a food for young infants are practically unknown, he says. 8 years later, his comments were still valid. In a later publication, Guy reported that contrary to Western notions, it was not usual to feed soy milk to infants. That's from 1938. Asia is a huge market for the soy industry, and the soy industry efforts to convince Asians that their ancestors ate much more soy than they actually did are purely profit-driven. And I'd like to tell the Asians that not only are the Western people trying to deceive them, but there's a higher conspiracy in this. There's a higher conspiracy to feminize all the nations for the New World Order. Not only that, it all ultimately goes to the pagan priesthood of the Tower of Babel. Of course they want all men. They're trying to lower the population. We view the attempts of the soy industry to rewrite the history books with contempt it deserves. So what is the result of this propaganda and engineering? Just from the 1980s, there's been a 25% lower dip in the levels of testosterone in men. Just from the 1980s, 25%. That means in a few years we get another 25%? What's happening? What's happening? And you say, what's the problem with that? We want men to be passive. Well, you want them to be passive till somebody kicks your door down. You want them to be passive until your children start going to hell. Then you say, why didn't my husband wake up and do something? Why didn't he take control? Why didn't he have any drive? You know, they say women's ministries around America say the number one complaint they get of Christian women is, my husband is so passive. He doesn't have any initiative. He doesn't have any drive. He doesn't have any follow through. What is the result? Science Daily says masculine ideals of strength, coupled with strong family ties can help men combat depression and overcome thoughts of suicide, according to new research. Men's strong sense of masculine roles and responsibility as a provider and protector enables men to hold on. You know what this is saying? It's saying there's something about a man when he understands biblical manliness, when he understands why God put him here, when he understands why his daughters need him, why his son needs him, why children need him, why his family needs him. There's something about that that lets him stand up, cast off the depression, and get on with life and quit himself like a man and avoid depression and fainting and discouragement. Which means, as they genetically and chemically and with propaganda lower the testosterone of men, they have a lower drive. They have a lower sense of responsibility that I need to take care of my family and defend it and protect it. And as that drive goes down, so does their joy. They end up depressed, and men end up killing themselves all over the nation. You think they care? You think they care? Are you depressed? Let me give you some psych drugs to help the BPA and hormones and everything else and soy and everything else you're already eating. And that way we'll be ensure that you just end up feminized and depressed and kill yourself. Sure seems like that's what they're doing. Now, before you also think, I don't want my husband, I don't want men to have more testosterone, understand something. There was a study as long ago as 1974 that found there is no significant difference in the testosterone levels of socially dominant but non-aggressive prisoners and of aggressive prisoners. Now, they've been telling you for years that when you put these prisoners, we got to put them on soy. SOPEC, we got to put the prisoners on soy so they'll be passive, because we found that when a man becomes filled with testosterone and eats meat and things like that, if somebody messes with him, he'll knock their teeth out. So they are physically violent in the prisons, and we want them passive. Hey folks, what they're doing in the prison systems is just a small picture of what they're doing in the whole nation, the whole world. See. But what the study showed was this. Men that are leaders but not violent also had high testosterone. So what they found out was, just because a man has high testosterone doesn't mean he's going to hurt somebody. Doesn't mean he's going to be aggressive or violent. It means he's going to take charge. It means that sometimes if he's a godly man, he's going to use that energy to say, let's see what needs to get done here. Let's do what we can to accomplish something. So I would stay away from monk food and a monk diet. I would stay away from a pagan priesthood attempt to feminize the males. And I'd like to just give you here some curses associated with high testosterone in women. As an extra motivation to take the things that, can I hold this? To take the things that we have looked at last week with the plastic, the hormone, the shampoos, and all of these things. You say, I don't mind high testosterone. I don't care if this plastic gives me high testosterone. I don't care as a woman that I want my man to be passive, and I want to be full of drive and all the blessings of the manly hormone. Men are supposed to have estrogen and women are supposed to have testosterone, but not anywhere near the numbers that they're having it. The first problem is this. Women with high testosterone had a significant increased risk of fibroids. I believe those are precancerous. You do not want those. So, as you go ahead and continue with the plastic and all of these other things, this might be what you can look forward to. God help you. Number two, women with high testosterone levels were more likely to have impaired math skills, but men were the opposite. Don't let them lie to you. Oh, well, this will help me think like a man thinks, and I'll have higher math skills. No, God is not going to allow, he's not going to be mocked. Women with high T levels were more likely to have impaired math skills. God made you to be a woman, not a man. But men, if their testosterone goes down, they're not as good at math. Three, women with high testosterone have more promiscuity affairs and broken marriages. As the plastic BPA generation, with hormones in our meat, you have more and more broken marriages. Girls born to women with high T while pregnant show greater preference for boys' toys. Just let a woman walk around with that plastic and all that stuff she does and the hormones and eat her cheese and eat her butter and drink all that stuff, eat the meat and the chicken and all that stuff. The chicken doesn't have hormones, but it does have antibiotics, which also feminize. What does she do? When she becomes pregnant, she has a little girl. Her little girl sometimes, often, according to studies, wants to play with boys' toys. Prepubertal girls with high levels of T have more interest in masculine activities. They have more resistance to parental socialization efforts, encouraging feminine behavior. Well, don't you want to come over here and play with the girl stuff? Don't you want the girl clothes? No, I want to dress like a boy. I want to be a boy and play like a boy. Wow. And here's another plastic water bottle, and here's some hormone, and come eat your dinner now. So we can increase these levels of T in you. Remember, the more xenoestrogens a woman gets, the higher up her T goes. Women with high testosterone had less interest in men or their husbands in light of 1 Corinthians 7 and Hebrews 13. Don't think, well, it'll be great if a woman has high testosterone, she'll be more interested in her husband. No. They found out the opposite. But she did have more perverted, selfish desires. Wow. Made her a pervert. Testosterone didn't make her love her husband more or want her husband more. It made her a pervert. Selfish pervert. Postmenopause women with higher T scores were more likely to develop breast cancer. Women with higher testosterone reported more acne. Women with higher testosterone have greater risk for heart disease. Early menopause women with higher testosterone levels have increased insulin resistance, prediabetes. Women with higher T levels had a greater appetite for risky behavior and choices. Women with higher T have more depression and mood disorders. Be sure to eat your hormones so you can be more moody, more depressed. Here's some plastic. Make sure it's in your shampoo and in your lotion and rub it all over your body now. And then you say, my wife's depressed. My wife's moody. Well, I wonder why. She's filled with testosterone probably. Women with higher T tend to have deeper voices, more facial hair, baldness, and in general a less feminine physical appearance. Higher testosterone levels in women are linked to criminal violence and aggressive dominance. Among prison inmates, women with higher testosterone levels committed more acts of unprovoked violence. In other words, she says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Women with higher levels of masculinity had higher T levels. Androgynous was their word, I do believe, than did the women who were more feminine. Women with higher T perceived themselves as self-directed. Women with lower T viewed themselves as socializing and caring. They say, tell us about yourself. Oh, I'm self-focused. I'm self-directed. Oh, you must have high T. Xenoestrogens. Women with higher T are more ruthless and imperious, bossy. Ruthless is their word. Women with high T levels are more at risk of miscarriage. Women who have high T levels tend not to ovulate, produce a mature egg. Women with higher levels of testosterone have significantly lower levels of success at nursing babies. Premenopause women with higher levels of T shed fewer tears. They don't cry. Women with higher T tend to wear more and bolder makeup, in contrast to higher levels of estrogen, which are associated with brighter, clearer, rosier skin, often called the glow. Researchers at the University of Glasgow. I will put a PS on this one. It made the world so mad, and there was such an uproar that they exposed that to everybody, that they retracted it. They didn't give any reason why, nor have they returned any emails yet, but they retracted it. But I'll tell you why they retracted it. It's just too much information. Too much information. Why? Basically, you didn't need some psychological study to tell you that. Just read 2 Kings 9:30. Jezebel painted her face. Now, was Jezebel a godly, sweet, shame-faced woman? No, you know what Jezebel was? She comes from paganism. And I tell you what, she went in there and her husband was whining and depressed, obviously low on testosterone and wicked and full of sin and guilt, and said, I just wanted Naboth's vineyard, and that's why I'm depressed. And I tell you what, she went up there and says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it, because I'm a dominant, bossy, imperious woman. I don't know where she's getting all that, probably from just her whorish behavior. The Bible does say an imperious, whorish woman. But I'm telling you what, she painted her face. So this idea to be risky and bold and flashy, it comes from that high T. Women with higher levels of T were less likely to marry. They assigned a lower priority to marrying. Women with higher levels of T were less interested in children and had fewer children. Higher T in women can cause high blood pressure, fatty liver, and sleep apnea. High T in women is associated with personality changes such as competitiveness, irritability, increased selfishness, excitability, and more likely to express their competitive feelings through verbal aggression. Women with high T show less interest in babies or nurturing. I'm tired of that pastor preaching on that stuff. I'm done with it. I don't need to hear any more about this stuff. Blah, 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 blah. I understand. And by God's grace, if we can get you back healthy, your feelings might change. Your feelings might change. Women with higher T view themselves as impulsive and independent. You know, you ought to just try it, amen? You ought to just try it. You ought to say, why don't I just try to get this stuff out of my body? Why don't I just try? Then you might look at your husband and say, I love my husband. I have a good pastor. Impulsive and independent. Women with higher T perceive themselves as less civilized, rational, or warm. Women with higher testosterone levels tend to smile less often. And finally, just for extra credit, female rats with higher T attacked their male mates. They had no interest in their male mates. They attacked them. Put the nice man in the cage. Here you go. Attacked him. Whooped him up. Brother, this is what's happening in America. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. This is what's happening in Baptist churches across America. This is what's going on. Now, what it's going to take is men having some drive and saying, you know what? Let's fix this. But there's no drive left. There's no drive left. It's been engineered out of the men. And the woman says, I just feel mad. I just want to tell you. I just want to cuss you all out and tell you all. I tell you what, I just don't want anything. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll eat whatever I want to eat. Well, I know you feel like that, sister. is by design. As I close, I got just a couple of things to tell you here. And I want to make this clear. Studies have found that not only do hormones influence the way you act, but the way you act can influence your hormones. If you got any energy or mental energy left, how do we know whether the high testosterone come from the behavior or the behavior come from the high testosterone? It's a circle. They're both true. They're both true. Which means, and this is a biblical principle, and it's been seen to work out in observation. This means when you put on feminine soft clothes, and for 20 years women have told me this. They said, I didn't feel like doing it, I just did it. And I began to feel softer. You know what happened? Something physically happened in your hormones. As you come home and be a stay-at-home mother and begin to do girly things just because it's right, you begin to change your feelings. Hormonally, you begin to change physically. Now, when you go and fill yourself with xenoestrogens and hormones and all of that, now you're battling against it and everything's just all scrambled and all messed up. But as much as I want you, even more so, as much as I want you to stay away from these xenoestrogens and all of these things that these elite so-called Masonic people, these pagan priests want you to pervert yourself with, one way, just act what God, just do what God says to do. Think what God says to think. And physically, it'll make changes. Men, if God says stand up, just stand up. Just do what's right. Finish something. Say, I don't feel like finishing something. Just finish it. Make your boy finish. Make him follow through. Because it does something physically inside of him. It does something physically inside of you. They have found that working women have higher levels of testosterone than women who stay at home. And the daughters of working women have higher levels of testosterone than daughters of housewives. Oh, and then look at this. If you really want to see something. Effects of gendered behavior on testosterone in women and men. Wielding power increased testosterone in women even if they pretended. Wow. They had some paid actors come in. They said, I want you to tell him what to do and act like you're the boss of a corporation. Just act. I'm not the boss of a corporation. I'm just a housewife. It doesn't matter. Just get in here and pretend. Okay, I want you. Hey, we're not going to put up with this. Now, have I already told you over and over again to get to work on time and to keep your desk clean? Now, everybody, and listen. They measured their testosterone. It went up. Just pretending to be in control had a hormonal change in her body. Hey, fellas, pretending to be a sissy isn't funny. I mean, you might really get some hormonal changes in your body. So what happens, Brother Sopet, if she can pretend to be in control and her testosterone goes up? What happens when she goes and gets a job and really does get in control? What happens? You ever see these deputy women pull you over sometime and you're like, what is this? It's Rosie O'Donnell. I don't know what it is. Is it an it? I don't know what it is, but this isn't going to be good. Why is it not going to be good? Because we know she has an attitude 9 times out of 10. She's got that gun on her belt and that short hair and them pants on. She's going to start acting like it. There's a hormonal change, not only in the plastic and all the stuff she's eating in her diet, not only in the culture, not only in the propaganda, but in the very wielding of the power. It begins to change her hormonally. and to the monster Satan wants her to be. And I guess I accidentally flipped to the next headline. The first headline was Effects of Gender Behavior on Testosterone in Women and Men. Wielded Power Increased Testosterone in Women. That's the actual exercise of the power. The next headline is Women's Testosterone Levels Rise Even When They Just Act Like They Have Power. Wow. Wow. Our Bible says a woman has a weak heart when she's a whore. And it says, how weak is thy heart? The work of an imperious, whorish woman. These past two sermons, may nobody misunderstand. Do I believe that children have been hurt? Yes. Have young boys and daughters been hurt? Yeah. They've got desires in them that comes because nobody listened to what I told them to do. Your daughters desire what they desire many times. I'm talking to this church and anybody who listens to these messages. I know what they said about Roloff for years. I'm not a Roloff, but I know what they said. They said, we like a lot of his preaching, but he gets a little crazy with some of that food stuff. Oh, if you'd only listen to Roloff. If you'd only listen to him about public school. If you'd only listen to him about food. He wasn't biblically perfect, but he was trying with whatever light he had back then. A whole generation could have been saved. Your daughters desire things right now that their desires might have been different had you obeyed what I said, what I proved. But even though children have it bad, let me tell you something, boys. Whatever feeling you might have inside of you to be a sissy, to be girly, it's from hell. And Jesus says you can resist your feelings by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are a new creature if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit and you don't have to walk after the flesh by God's power. You girls, if you desire boyish things and you're afraid to be feminine, a lot of it's physical. You didn't think that plastic was going to mess with you. It does. But that's no excuse. That's no excuse. It's no excuse to be perverted in your desires. Jesus says, as we said last week, you could turn the other cheek. And that goes against a man's feelings. The whole flesh sometimes is against our feelings. Now, are people having more temptations today? Yes. And God says, make not provision for the flesh. Look not at the wine. Come out from among them and be a separate. Dear Holy Father, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd get a hold of some more people, Father. Oh, wherever they be, Lord, in this church, on the internet, wherever they are, Father, I pray that somebody will just wander in, hear this message, and their whole life will change, dear God, by your power, by your grace, by your goodness. And Lord, I pray they'll give us the testimony. I pray you'll change women's hearts, change their feelings, make their load, the burden that they have upon them. Oh God, they know what you say. They know what the Bible says, but they just feel so contrary, not only because of the natural flesh from Adam, but because of this engineering, God. Let's lighten the load, Father. Help us lighten the load so we can desire to be good more, desire to be manly as men and feminine as women. And Lord, I know you'll bring a whole lot of other blessings with it. Now somehow or another, Lord, don't let these masons and perverts and Nazi engineers, don't let them win, God. Don't let them win over your people, Father. I know you want to deliver them from bondage. But God, many murmur and are filled with unbelief. And the more they partake of these things, the less obedient they feel like being. So, dear God, do a miracle. Wake the dead. Make the lame walk and leap. Stir these people to do right, to do what they can, to get out from under the propaganda as well as the poison. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.